Larry Price didn't realize when he began rebelling as a teenager that his rebellion would lead him to prison several times. And yet it was in prison that he found freedom. Learn why this was so when you hear his revealing true story coming soon on Unshackled. How do you do? Someone has observed that experience is a wonderful thing. It helps you recognize a mistake when you make it again. But the young man in this story kept making the same mistakes, and he even began to recognize the pattern. But he was powerless to change anything until he experienced the truth, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Lighting the darkness with true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced before a live audience in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. For homeless people in Chicago, there is a door that is always open to them, day or night. Pacific Garden Mission provides a clean bunk, meals, clean clothing, and medical and dental care, all without charge, thanks to caring friends who give financially to help those in need. Meeting physical needs is vital, but doesn't alter the lives. Transformation comes as pastors and counselors help the homeless face the attitudes and behavior that led to their downfall. Repentance opens the door that never closes, the one that leads to new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2700 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Where you been, Larry? I've been calling you all day.
What time is it, man?
5 o'clock, dude.
Oh, man. I slept all day. I remember it was just after midnight. Oh, man!
What's going on? What? What is it?
I felt something in my hair. I thought it was a roach.
What was it?
Cigarette butt. Oh, man, I just noticed I burned a big hole in my pillow.
Oh, no.
I must have fell asleep and rolled over on it.
Well, you're lucky the house didn't burn down.
Yeah.
What were you on last night?
Well, not that much. Smellville. And I finished a bottle of whiskey.
You're lucky to be here, Larry.
More than luck was involved in that near-death experience for the young man in our story. He was 20 years old then, enslaved to a spirit of rebellion. His bondage began as a teenager, doing as he pleased. But he wasn't so pleased with the consequence of his rebellion, which led him closer to death each day. This is the story of how the chains were broken, the true story of Larry Price, right now on Unshackled.
Being an only child for 14 years no doubt contributed to my self-centeredness. My family lived in Jacksonville, Florida, where Dad was a supervisor for the city sewer department. Dad and I fished and hunted together, and my parents were not religious. But they sent me to Sunday school when I was little.
Do I have to go to church today?
No, we're going for a drive this morning.
Good. I'd like to see the new park that just opened on the west side.
And I want to check out a hunting rifle that I saw for sale in the paper.
Well, can I stay home and play with my friends?
No, you come along with us. We're going to visit your grandparents later on.
Born in 1954, I was a new teenager in the late 60s, at a time when rebelling against authority was expected among my peers. In spite of my parents' desires for me to achieve academically, I was drawn to the wild kids, the ones who smoked, drank, and dared to experiment with new ideas, and to go beyond the established boundaries of our society. I didn't realize these ideas and ways were as old as mankind. I just wanted to be popular.
It's too nice out here to be stuck in school.
That's for sure.
Let's skip today.
Yeah. Okay, but what do we do, man?
Go somewhere and get high. Anybody got a stash? Oh, bummer. Well, I got some paint thinner at home that'll give us a rush. Let's do it. We ought to just stay on Main Street, man, and thumb our nose at the cops.
Yeah, I love it when they come after us and we outsmart them.
There seemed to be a progression. Break one barrier, and the next one became easier. We couldn't see it, but each barrier broken was a downward spiral. Another step away from what was right. Oh, I'd vow not to do the next thing. You know, the harder drug, the worse rebellion. But I did it.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh. I got a good buzz.
Man, me too. Nothing like being high, bro.
Ever try LSD?
Nah, I'll never do acid. It's too risky.
That's what they say about this stuff. Yeah. It hasn't hurt me yet.
Yeah, well, I've seen those acid heads. They're all strung out and looking like zombies.
They're on a trip, man. Don't you want to expand your mind?
I don't know. Maybe I'll try acid, but I'll never stick a needle in my arm.
Never say never.
Hey, somebody's at the back gate. Come on.
A cop!
Let's go!
Okay, boys.
Hold
it right there. Stop. Hello? You got away, huh? I thought maybe they nailed you.
No way, man. The cop grabbed my foot and I kicked it loose. Cut my ankle pretty bad, but I got up running.
He was hot on your tail. How'd you get away?
I jumped another fence and ran into an overgrown field behind your house.
And they didn't find you?
No way, man. He walked right past the spot where I was hiding in the grass. 10 more feet and that guy would have stepped right on me.
Wait till the guys hear about this. We all ran the cops. Let's turn on at Gary's house tonight. He scored some speed.
I moved along in the drug world, trying harder drugs, stealing to get what I wanted. We thought it was cool to break the rules. Life was just one big party. A game in which we made the rules. And the main rule was to have fun. To hang out with no restrictions. Well, my dad had other ideas.
Your mother and I are at our wits' end, Larry. You seem to be determined to ruin your life.
Hang tough, Dad. I'm not that bad.
Well, you've spent more time in the detention center than you have in class. And you're flunking school.
Dad, school's a waste.
Come on. Without a good education, you're a loser.
Hey, a lot of great men never finished high school, Dad.
Don't flatter yourself.
Look, if you and Mom would just get off my case, I might do a lot better.
Larry, we've tried every way we could to help you. Counseling didn't work. Punishment didn't work. Maybe if you change schools and get away from those hooligans you're
with. Hey, those
you.
Are my friends, Dad.
Yeah, some friends. Shoplifting, drugs, and who knows what else.
We're just seeing what stuff is like, you know, an experiment.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it all before, Larry. Frankly, yeah, I've given up on you. If you don't change direction, you're really headed for serious trouble.
My parents always came to get me from the detention center, even as I skipped school more and more, and was caught and punished. At 15, when I was in the 9th grade, I went out one day and hitchhiked all the way to Atlanta. I was gone 3 months before I called home.
Hello?
Hey, Mom.
Larry, where have you been?
I'm in Atlanta. I hitchhiked up here.
Oh, why didn't you call sooner? We've been worried sick.
Look, Mom, I can take care of myself. I've been working here and there.
Why did you leave?
Look, I didn't want to be there anymore. Besides, I was tired of school and the rules and...
Come home, son. That's no way to live.
I want to, Mom, but the police busted me for being a runaway and they won't let me go unless you come and get me.
Well, I'll call your dad. We'll be there as soon as we can, Larry.
Oh, I put my parents through so much turmoil and heartache as my run-ins with the law got worse. Each time I vowed I'd never do it again. But I really meant I'd be more careful not to get caught. But I couldn't break the cycle. Detention center became jail as my crimes grew more serious. Drug dealing, armed robbery, burglary, auto theft, and credit card fraud. Well, finally, I was caught and sentenced to 18 months in Florida's penal system. My parents rarely visited me, but I received an encouraging letter from the mother of a childhood friend. When I was released, I struggled against doing drugs, but what else was there? To escape the certainty of being caught by the police in Florida, a friend and I went to Savannah, Georgia. But he split and left me hanging there, so once again, I called home.
Hello?
Hi, Mom.
Larry, where are you?
I'm in Savannah. I came here with a friend, but he disappeared, and then somebody stole all my clothes and my money.
Larry!
Mom, can you send me some money?
I don't know. know if
don't
I should
lecture
help
me.
You.
I just need help to get back on my feet.
You need to come home and settle down.
I'm trying, Mom. Just wire me some money, please.
Your dad doesn't want to encourage your dissipated lifestyle.
Mom.
But I'll send you $20. And if you're smart, you'll get a bus ticket home.
I should have taken her advice, but I was trapped by my own cyclone of rebellion. Destitute and depressed, I wandered the streets of Savannah until I discovered a rescue mission where they gave me a meal. Afterward, I sat outside shelling beans on the porch with an old-timer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it works better if you snap them like this.
I don't have much experience shelling beans, sir.
First time here?
Yeah, first and last. They only let you stay one night.
Oh, you can stay more than one night if you get on the Bible program.
Well, I'm not interested in any Bible program.
Eat sleeping on the ground.
One night's enough for me.
Hey, Larry, what are you doing there?
Wow, man, I'm so glad to see you. Hey, somebody stole all my clothes, so I crashed here.
Come on, get in. We're out of here.
My friends were just driving around that day when they saw me at the mission. They helped me find a job and a place to stay. It was there that I passed out with a burning cigarette and nearly set the house on fire. Well, from time to time, I wondered if life had to be that way and if it'd stay that way forever, hitting bottom and feeling despair, then bouncing up a bit and feeling hope. But the bottom kept getting deeper. My drug use led me back to a life of crime, and once again, I was arrested and sentenced to 6 years in prison. I attended the drug rehab program while there, and Bill, one of the counselors, talked with me often.
So you completed GED classes while in prison in Florida?
Yeah, during my first prison term.
And you're taking courses now. What kind of classes are they, Larry?
Oh, world history. It's really giving me insight into my own problems, you know?
How so?
Well, I'm beginning to see that all religions are basically the same. They're just man's search for God. They all have different names for God, but they all sort of end up in the same place, you know?
So how does that help you?
Well, religion's just a crutch. The Bible can't help me, so I got to find the answers for myself. If I can learn what makes the mind tick, what it's all about, then I can work out my own problems and not get into trouble.
I see.
I'm taking courses in psychology now. If I get a degree in that, then I'll understand other people. Most of all, I'll understand myself.
What about the drugs? It was really drugs that got you in trouble, Larry.
Oh, I'm dealing with that too, Bill. This in-house drug rehab program is great.
You're making great progress. That's why we've chosen Paul and you as our right hand. Out of the 60 guys in your cell block, you both are exceptional.
Well, prison can't rehabilitate anyone, Bill. You got to rehabilitate yourself, and I have. I'll never use drugs again. The drug counselors had chosen me to leave the drug program, but while telling others how to quit, I continued to use drugs. Paroled early on educational release, I was living in a halfway house with other ex-convicts and drug offenders. One day when we were driving back to Savannah, drinking and doing drugs, we stopped at a gas station and I went inside. I opened the cash register and was stealing the money when the owner came in. I pushed him aside, jumped in the car, and we fled. The police in the next little town arrested us.
Sound hopeless? We'll hear about that in just a moment. Bibles and churches are mostly forbidden in Middle Eastern countries, but Unshackled is broadcast there in Arabic. Here are some responses from listeners. Mohammed in Lebanon writes, "How dare you make a program like Unshackled? I like to listen to these stories, but there is a message that leads people away from Islam." And from Egypt, Ali writes, "I am sick with cancer with only a little time to live. I began to listen to Unshackled and found that anyone who gives his heart to Jesus and trusts him as Lord and Savior will not die, but will have everlasting life." And this man in Kuwait writes, "Unshackled is my only window to know about Christ. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I did not tell anyone about that but you. Pray for this ministry to people living in lands of spiritual darkness. To have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address."
One of the counselors in the prison drug rehab program lived in the small town where I was arrested and put in jail. Since I didn't know anybody else there, I used my one phone call to reach out to him, hoping he could help me.
Hello?
Is Bill there?
No, he's out of town. Could I take a message?
Yeah, this is Larry Price. I was in Bill's drug rehab program in prison. I'm in jail here in town and thought maybe you could help me.
Well, I'm Bill's mother, Larry. Would it be all right if my husband and I came to visit you?
Yeah, sure.
Larry, this is my husband.
Pleased to meet you.
We brought you a Bible, the New Testament.
Thanks.
We asked our pastor to come by and visit you, too, if that's okay.
Sure, I'm sure not going anywhere.
We just want you to know that the Lord will help you. People may let you down, but not Jesus.
I let myself down. I can't believe I'm in trouble again.
That's human nature, Larry. Without Christ, we're no match for our sinful passions or the lures of Satan.
Well, I've sure been trapped by my own desires, and I guess Satan's lures, too.
You can put your trust in the Lord, Larry. He died to save you from yourself and from the penalty of sin, which is eternal damnation. Jesus wants to save you. He'll give you the strength to overcome the world.
You know, I used to go to church as a kid. Maybe I should go to chapel here.
That would help. Read the Bible, too. God will reveal himself to you. He wants to help you.
I was touched by their sincerity, the way they came to visit and encourage me, even though we'd never met before. And what they said seemed to hit home. They continued to visit nearly every week. Then their preacher came to see me.
I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Larry. Been a pastor there for many years, but the Lord sent me here.
Wow, what a coincidence.
You know what they say? A coincidence is God working anonymously.
Well, why would he do anything for me?
Well, because he loves you. He doesn't play favorites, Larry, no matter what you have done or where you've been. He still loves you.
I hardly ever thought about God.
I know very few people do, but he's always aware of you. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Larry, God loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish.
Not even me, huh?
Not anyone. Do you know the facts of the gospel?
Yeah, I heard it when I was a kid.
Well, then you know that Jesus died for your sins.
I remember hearing that in church.
You agree with God that you're a sinner? He says that all have sinned and come short of his glory.
A few months ago, I'd have said no, but now I know I'm a sinner.
Well, that's what God wants to hear. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Larry, do you have a Bible?
Yeah, thanks to Bill's mom and dad.
Then read it. You get to know God that way, and you'll discover how merciful and loving and forgiving he is. If there's a Bible study in here, join it. God will bless you.
My first time at the Bible study in jail, the leader was teaching from the second chapter of John, where Jesus went to the wedding at Cana and turned water into wine. As I listened, the teaching seemed to speak directly to my situation.
The Bible records that as the first miracle Jesus performed in his ministry on earth, and it's the first miracle he performs in every new believer's life. He takes an ordinary man or woman and turns them into a child of God. He puts his Holy Spirit in us, giving us eternal life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When you think about it, a wedding is a time of celebration, where you make a covenant to be faithful and to love one another. And that's what God does when you give yourself to him. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, he promises to never leave you or forsake you.
Sure get a lot out of these verses.
Every time you read Scripture, God shows you something new. That's why it's called the living word.
Wait a minute. What's the significance of changing water into wine?
Well, it was a symbol of the transformation that comes to everyone who receives Christ, the new birth. If you read on in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 to 21, you see that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
I went back to my cell where I was alone, and everything I'd heard began to stir my heart. I saw that true satisfaction couldn't be found in a party lifestyle, crimes, drinking, or drugs, but in a relationship with the living Lord. And there I cried out, God, help me! Not a very theological prayer, but one straight from my heart, a cry of repentance, surrender, and admission that I was on the wrong path. Many Christians came to the jail to conduct Bible studies, bringing tracts and literature. I read every tract and followed each instruction about how to be saved. And as the days passed, I knew that something extraordinary had happened to me, and I couldn't wait to tell Bill's parents when they came to visit.
Larry, you were born again.
Yeah, it's like a light came on.
More like the light came in. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came into your heart.
Yeah, I've been reading the New Testament you gave me almost three times in the past 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good. The Lord is speaking to you.
I'll say. I keep underlining the significant parts, and almost everything's underlined now.
Oh, we're very happy for you, Larry.
Yeah, I can't believe how much I'm learning. If only I'd read the Bible sooner.
God never gave up on you.
For sure. The first time I was in jail in Florida, a friend's mother wrote me, and at the bottom of the letter she wrote, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I never forgot that.
She was being faithful to share the good news.
That's the gospel in one sentence, isn't it? I've been wondering how I could help other guys come to know Christ for salvation. Now I realize that I can show them that verse.
Yes, that's right. Oh, how soon is your court date, Larry?
6 weeks.
We'll come and testify about the change in your life.
I was facing a 20-year sentence for parole violation and the robbery I committed. But when I went to court, many local people from the Bible studies testified on my behalf. Even the assistant district attorney put in a word for me, and I was given a 3-year sentence. The sheriff requested that I remain in a little jail as a trustee, which I desired because of the Bible studies. But I was suddenly transferred to Tobacco Road, a prison in Augusta. I joined a Bible study the day after I arrived. There, they were studying the Book of Numbers. At first, my heart sank. But the teaching was manna to a hungry soul.
So you see, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament are a picture of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. God's holiness requires a sinless sacrifice. Life-giving blood was his requirement for the temporary sacrifice of the chosen few. But Jesus' blood provides an eternal sacrifice for the whole world. Jesus made atonement once and for all for everyone when he died on the cross. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
And what we read in this chapter about Moses standing between the dead and the living to stop the plague, that's what believers do today, right?
Yes. We stand in the gap with our prayers for the unsaved, the ones who are spiritually dead. Any questions? All right, then I'll see you next week. We'll continue our study in the Book of Numbers.
Well, I really like this study Bible you gave me, Mr. Temple. It's helped me learn so much.
I can tell you're using it. You've finished these courses faster than anyone.
Well, I love to study God's Word.
Keep memorizing verses, too, Larry.
I do that when I'm on work detail.
Good. When you go through hard times, and you will, His Word will be there for you.
You know, God has delivered me from the desire for drugs. Completely delivered me.
The real test will come when you get out.
Oh, you can get drugs in prison. I just don't have any desire for them anymore.
If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
I think I'd like to be a Bible teacher someday, Mr. Temple.
You don't have to wait until someday. Why not lead a Bible study right here in prison?
I taught the Bible study one night and continued to help them until my release in September 1979, when I moved back to my parents' home. I found a small church of believers who based life on the teachings of the Bible, and God began to use me.
I can't get over the difference in you, Larry.
It's the Lord, Mom. He gave my life purpose.
And to think the people in that church are letting you preach now and then.
Well, under careful supervision of the elders. When I told them about my past, they just said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
I never would have thought you'd end up a Bible teacher.
Yeah, I've been asked to preach at my first funeral, Mom. You remember Ralph, don't you?
Your old friend?
Yeah, he escaped from prison, and when the police cornered him, he shot himself. His mom called and asked me to preach at his funeral. I'm the only Christian she knows.
What a wasted life.
Yeah. Well, I tell people when I give testimony that doing your own thing doesn't work out. Some of them think they can be rebellious and still come out okay, but you never know just how much time you have.
No, you don't.
My life verses, Mom, are Psalm 103, verses 10 and 11. It says,
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. In other words, I didn't get what I deserved, thanks to Jesus. He took my punishment. I met and married my wife, Wanda, at the little church I attended, and God gave us a son and two daughters, all grown, and all have made professions of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For many years, I went back to the Georgia prison and taught Bible studies to the inmates. Well, in 1992, I received a full pardon from the state of Florida, and I gave the governor and his cabinet some gospel literature and assured them that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who made the changes in me. I also began a radio broadcast preaching God's word, the gospel of salvation that changed my life.
Listening friend, you with a troubled heart, does that kind of transformation seem unbelievable? Well, it's for you too, because nothing is too hard for God. No matter where you've been or what you've done, the Lord knows and still loves you. He wants to give you His peace. There's nothing you must do first. Only believe that Christ died for your sins and lives to give you eternal life right now. To receive His gift, pray with us. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of Your grace and Your mercy. I cannot earn Your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died to save me, rose from the dead to give us His life, His righteousness. Thank You for Your gift of salvation. In His name I pray. Amen. My friend, rejoice. Let us know that you are now a child of God, and we'll send you some literature to help you walk in faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website at www.unshackled.org. This is program number 2700. Heard in the true story of Larry Price were Tim Dadabo, Camilla Hawk, Ray Van Steen, P.J. Burns, Don Stroop, and Darren Stevens. Original music, Ralph Coburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know that you listen, so please drop us a note sometime soon. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one seems to care, we do. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with a counselor, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.